Focus on the Community on Memories 107.9 WAMW and worldwide live from WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Schwartzentruber. Each week we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Ligonier. Well, I'm excited about our show today. I think we've got a good guest that will be of significant interest to our community, and we're going to talk about some important topics, some things that are near and dear to my heart, roads and bridges and infrastructure. So I'm joined by Mayor Joe Wellman of Washington. How are you, Mayor Wellman?
Good. How are you, Grant?
Very good.
Good.
And we've talked a little bit about what we want to cover today, and then we'll also hopefully hit some of the big events that we've got coming up in the community. But let's start off by covering and providing us with some information on paving projects and the roads in our community.
Be happy to. Roads are a big project, and streets are expensive to maintain. Starting this spring, before we get into actual paving, the city street crew took on a new venture, and that is crack sealing. The county has done some of that the last few years, and it is a pavement maintenance project is what it is, because what breaks up streets is water getting in them, under them, and then freezing and thawing. And certainly this winter has been the worst on freezing and thawing. So we seal the cracks because that's where water gets down in them. Unfortunately, there's no paving project that once it's paved, about the very next year, it's starting to develop cracks. So we're sealing all those, and we're told, the studies have shown that will extend the life of pavement 2 to 3 years. So while that's not a huge amount, it certainly extends the cost.
Sure.
And then we've been doing our own hot mix and cold mix filling of potholes. But when it comes to paving, that's a specialty project, and no city our size, or really about any size that I know of around here, has their own paving crews. So we put out for bid every year paving projects. And this year, E&B Paving, which has their local asphalt plant here in town, got that contract. And they have started working, in fact, this week. It was delayed a lot on their part for various reasons, but they have started. We've got two major things we're working on. One is normal paving, milling and paving. But this year, because of the tough winter, we've had three or four or five streets that have had major, major failure. What that means is you got to go and dig the whole street out, the base, redo the base, do the intermediate asphalt, and then the top layer. So
and which ones might, I mean, are you able to talk about that? Or
yes, John Street. Up by 6th, Northeast 6th to the highway, Linwood and North Side Drive, that area, Hillside over just off of Business 50, and there's about a block or half a block in there, and then East Side Park Road. There are some major failures between Dogwood and Glenwood Drives. Those will entail completely taking them out, and they started on that this week. Unfortunately, what they found out is it's going to take longer than they thought, because they had hoped to hit all four of those this week. And you get it all dug out, and there's a lot of moisture. Brian tells me, our street commissioner tells me, that the water, the ground is kind of
wet.
Squishy.
I believe that.
So they've got to let it dry. Although I talked to him this morning, and they are trying to get back on that today. They're also paving Northwest 6th Street. We have a whole list of probably eight to ten, I think, other streets that they're going to be working on this spring. You mentioned expense, and it is expensive. We're spending between $500,000 and $600,000 this spring.
Wow.
Just on those projects that I've mentioned, and then we'll see where our money is. Community crossings will be coming out again here in a couple of months, and we'll see what we've got, if we'll be able to do any more paving this fall. The really useful tool that we did is 2 years ago, we what they call a PACER, a pavement asset system. I forget what it stands for.
Like
anyways,
PACER rating.
Yeah, PACER ratings. Yeah, yeah. And we have rated every street and every block, basically, in the city from a 1 to 10. 10 being brand new street, 1 being pretty much gravel. So, and those help us prioritize now the list of what streets we're going to pave when. So that's great. What we're working on.
No, that's great. And if people are interested in what's going on, or I'm sure, would that be on the city? Could they go to the city and say, this work's going to be performed on this street in this time period?
We haven't really posted those any place on our website, although a few weeks ago I did put the list on Facebook.
Okay.
And I mean, there's no reason people can't know about them. It's just a matter of, and it's been somewhat fluid this year because we put the list for this spring together last fall. Then we went through this tough winter, and so we had to adjust the list some too. So, we're trying to get all the streets as best we can. I mean, it's, the life of a street is, 12 years, I'm not sure, 10 to 12 years. So about the time we get them all done, it's time to start over again. We are spending, I would say we're spending $400,000 to $600,000 or $700,000 a year on maintenance of streets.
Wow, that's a lot of money. And but obviously as a community, that's where money should be spent, right? I mean, that's what we...
It's kind of like national defense for the federal government. I mean, it's a government service that people expect and rightfully do. And so, and it's a project that, you and I can't go pave our street by ourselves. So it's a logical
not at
government
those prices.
Service.
Not at
no.
those prices, man.
No.
Okay. Well, very good. I was interested too to hear that you have there's a metric to know, like, okay, these ones definitely need
right.
it, and these ones are probably okay. Right. So 1 to 10, you said 10's good?
10's the best.
Okay, and
basically
1 is like
a brand
gravel.
New street.
Okay.
After it's paved the next year, it probably falls to a 9, and then it goes down from there.
So it allows you to prioritize and knows.
Allows you to prioritize. The thing that most people don't think about and don't realize, and I never did before I was mayor, paving streets is a bigger deal than just putting blacktop on. Every street since I've been mayor that has a curb that we've paved, we've milled down first, because what happens over the years is you put pavement on top of pavement, next thing you know, the street's higher than the curbs. So any street that has a curb, for sure, we mill an inch and a half and put an inch and a half on it or whatever. But then you've also got, you mill it off and then you find out you got some soft spots, you got to fill that. And of course, you got to work around curbs and sewer intakes and water mains and so forth. So it's a bigger job than, some people that you would normally think about unless you're in the business. So
absolutely, I understand that. Speaking of that, maybe just touch briefly on, when we've got these big, crazy rains, I mean, it puts a lot of pressure and it really impacts our runoff systems and our sewer systems. Maybe talk a little bit about that. Any upgrades coming there and what should we expect?
I'm glad you mentioned that because it brings something to mind that I would like to mention. Anytime it rains in Washington, we have a combined sewer system, as most older cities like ourselves have, where all the sewage and all the rainwater goes into the same system. And unfortunately, that means every gallon of water that runs off the streets and sidewalks has to be treated just like it's sewage. That creates a huge demand on our treatment system and our collection system. So anything we can do to and anything that washes into those catch basins has to be treated as if it were sewage. So that's why a few years ago we put in an ordinance that you can't mow your grass out into the street, because it eventually ends up in the sewer system. And so we don't mind if people mow it into the street, but we'd like for them to blow it off before they, put the lawnmower away. Because that is a problem, and as is trash. That's one of the reasons that we've also have our Team Up to Clean Up program and clean streams and try to get the stuff out of the system. So anything we can do. We did upgrade our combined sewer system just this year. We added a automatic bar screen that as that trash comes in, it goes through a screen and it automatically keeps that screen cleaned off, because otherwise the water backs up and that's what we're trying to prevent.
Sure. So if you're listening, keep stuff off the streets, keep your clippings off the street, and don't throw trash on the ground. Get it in the trash can.
That'd be great. That would be great.
Well, let's talk a little bit about a big project that's going on right now. I know it's been something very important to you and important to other folks as well, but the overhead bridge, what they call, I think, Bridge 284. It was a CSX bridge. It was owned by the B&O a long time ago, and it's quite an old structure. And I know there's been a lot of work on that over a couple of years, and right. It seems like we're getting closer.
We are getting there. That's been a project that's been cussed and discussed for 20 years or more. And it was one of the projects that when I became mayor, I guess it was one of my personal primary goals to get something done on it. In fact, January of 2013, we had a meeting with representatives of CSX. I believe you were in that meeting Phil Cornelius and who else was in that meeting?
Mike Taylor,
yeah. We met with them and tried to get the ball rolling, and we have been successful getting that done. And the bridge is out. If anyone's been in that area, you know that 15th Street is closed right now. And thanks to the it's been a great project. It's a joint project between the
effort.
City and
great.
The county. Mm-hmm. And thanks to the Daviess County Economic Development Foundation, contributed $400,000 toward the project. So the city and county are each projected to be spending about $1,050,000 each for this project. I think the total cost is $2.6 million was estimated. So, and the good thing that on the city's part is we put that in last year toward the state's community crossings grant project, and the state will end up paying about half of our cost, half of the city's cost, about $500,000. So
remind me of the total cost you think on that.
$2.6 million. City and county are putting in the biggest of that, naturally. As I said, economic development putting in $400,000, and CSX is contributing $200,000 to it. So that's how you get to the 2.6.
When did we start on that? I'm sorry.
Was it April?
Yeah.
That sounds and right. Projected completion date is still the first part of December.
Great.
And once that's done, then the city's going to do some additional work. We're going to repave Hazel Street, which comes out onto just south of the bridge, and the street from 15th from State Street to Van Treese will be part of the project that'll be paved. And then the city's plan would be to pave the rest of 15th down to the highway when it's finished.
That'll be a nice corridor then.
Yes,
right?
It will. And
very
it,
good.
It includes that the project includes an 8-foot wide sidewalk and bike path separated from the traffic, which will make it a much safer thing for the people walking and pushing baby carriages and riding bikes. So
absolutely.
And it'll be a very nice looking bridge when it's done.
What color is it going to be?
It'll be the railing is going to be a brown, and then of course there'll be natural colored blocks that form the foundation of it. So
very good. Well, that's a good project. I know it's something that was important to you. Running for re-election and for election, and I think that it's nice just to see it. It finally we're getting there.
So. We're getting there. We will get her done.
Awesome,
Commissioner City. Councilman Jim Green, who is no longer on the council but served the first term of my mayor, my administration. Of course, that was his district, and that was his big pet projects too. And he's now lives out of town, and I send him pictures every couple of weeks of what's happening.
Loves that.
Oh,
he loves
it.
That. We'll have to come. We should have painted it green. It would have been the green bridge.
I told him I'm going to paint one of the blocks green or do something. I'll go out there some night and paint it green or something. I don't know.
Well, very good. Anything else on that bridge project, Mayor?
No, we're just excited to get it done. I think it's going to be great. It's going to end up being a wider street, wider and safer bridge, and very necessary for the city because it connects, the pharmacies and the businesses on 50 with the comes out near the hospital and the medical center and the dialysis center. It's a major important road for us.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about another project, and this is an even bigger project. and it's just something that a lot of people ask about because it's such a major issue and such a major corridor for the folks who live in our area.
Right.
You probably know what I'm talking about. It stretches from, let's see, the east coast of the United States to the west coast of the United States, and it goes through Washington.
Right.
Tell us on the process and how the project's going with US 50.
Old 50, I guess the base thing to say is the state of Indiana does not consider Old 50 a part of their needed inventory ever since they built the bypass. And their position is that it only carries local traffic anymore. That's not completely accurate because I see the traffic that goes through there. But regardless of that, as you said, it is still a major artery for the citizens of Davis County and coming into Washington and our own citizens. So that's been another project that several of the councilmen and I, you know, we got to do something about this. And it's been discussed for several administrations with the state. And the state, I've said it before, we are closer than we've ever been because we finally have gotten the state to take a look at it and commit some major dollars toward this, because they have wanted to relinquish that to the highway ever since they built the bypass. And the city's position, myself and three previous mayors have said, we're not going to take it over in the way, condition it is. We're still negotiating, so I really don't want to get into all the details and dollars. Sure. And all that. But I will say that another piece of it is that the city has water and sewer that run under that are old. This past winter, we had five breaks of the water line under it. And the council and I have been very insistent that before we pave it, we want to replace the water and sewer and infrastructure. We want to bury the electric and parts of it. We divided it into three sections, and in various sections, the plan will be to put in new curbs, depending on which part of the city we're talking about, but there will be parts of it will have new curbs, new sidewalks, a multi-use pathway for bikes and strollers and carriages, new decorative street lights. And then if we don't do anything, if the city does nothing, the state will eventually come in and lay a layer of blacktop over it, and it'll be nice looking for, and this is not derogatory to the state necessarily, but, you know, it'll look nice, but it still doesn't, parts of it, the base, I mean, like we talked about on streets, the base in places needs completely taken out. So that's what we're going to work on. And the good thing is for the city, replacing all that water and sewer under there is in itself a major expense, but we are negotiating with the state we would have to carry the cost of water and sewer and electric. That's not a state project.
Right.
The rest of it, they are, we are working with them to see if, to get an agreement to cover most of the cost of that. And
on the street project itself,
on the street and sidewalks and curbs,
right,
the surface work, if you will,
above ground.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. So we're getting closer, and the council has been studying all the agreements and discussions, and very soon we hope to at least have a resolution from the council to, here's kind of the skeleton of the negotiations. And I do want to caution everybody and be up front that if we signed an agreement with the state today, it's a five-year project. So even if we agreed to take it over today and they wrote us and they gave us money we would like to have, it's a five-year project. First of all, whatever money they give us, they're not going to write us one big check. Their fiscal and budgeting process is it would be over a four to five-year project. So it's not going to be a simple project. Our goal would be to get the water and sewer started potentially next spring and get that done, at least over parts of the road, the east and west sides. The center section between 3rd and State Street is going to be the biggest and most expensive project because you've got a lot of driveways and businesses and homes. The east and west side is a little bit more sparsely populated, so that center section is going to be the longest project, but we'll get there. We're getting closer, and I do have to say NDOT has been very forthright and very it's like negotiating anything, you know, right, back and forth. But
right,
we're getting there.
Well, it's good to talk a little bit about it, just to give people a heads up. I know that center section, it's the busiest piece of transit of, right, of road in the county,
and in the worst condition.
Yes. So I know it's important to you, and it's important to a lot of folks in the community. Okay, let's talk a little bit about 4th of July celebrations. Tell us what's going on. We got a little bit of time here, and then we're going to have to get wrapped up.
One of our biggest projects in this, or events in the city, particularly the city sponsors, is the 4th of July Festival. This year it's going to be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. And like always, we've got a lot of good things going on. Carnival rides will be opening at 5 o'clock Monday evening, and they'll be running through Wednesday. We're having, I think this is the third year, I think, for Fireman's Water Ball, which is an old-style event that people remember from their childhood. This year, Kip Kelly, our Parks and Recreation Superintendent, just told me this morning we've got 8 teams coming, one of them from as far away as Vigo County. So it ought to be fun to see them compete. If absolutely, you've never seen a fireman's water ball battle, come out. It is fun. It is neat. Don't get too close. You'll get wet, but sure, it's a lot of fun. We've got that. We've got bands, music all 3 nights. Fireworks will be at 10 o'clock. The National Anthem will be at 10 o'clock, followed by the fireworks on Wednesday. On the 4th.
Okay.
We've got a few local not-for-profit groups that will be having stands there, food stands. So it's just a lot of fun. It's a great family event, and I would encourage people to come out. It's going to be warm, but we think we're going to try to hold off
July
rain.
4th.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. Well, very good. Thank you for kind of telling us about that. And we're going to have to get wrapped up here, Joe. Mayor Wellman, excuse me. And I just appreciate your time and coming in. One thing I wanted to mention, you do have a new addition to your family. Is that right?
Yes. And so I think you and I last were on the radio here together. Yes, we have a new granddaughter, our 7th grandchild. So we're excited about that, naturally.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Everything went well. Good for you.
Yes. Yes. Doing fine.
Well, we're going to end on that note, a positive note. I really appreciate your time again, and we'll have to do it again.
I appreciate people's interest and your interest in city government, we just keep moving onward and upward, trying to improve the city and the looks of the city and keep an infrastructure alive and well.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Ligoti. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4-Star Country, the General 95.9, FM 1580 a.m. You can also listen to a copy of today's program and past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Swartzentruber, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning at 8:35 a.m. on Memories 107.9, WAMW, and each Sunday morning on 95.9 and 1580, WAMW, as we focus on the community.